Good evening, David. Welcome to the Space Show.
Good evening, Andrew.
You're in Melbourne for a particular reason. What's that?
I'm here for the Australian Institute of Physics National Congress, and particularly... I think that's all.
Good evening, David. Welcome to the Space Show.
Good evening, Andrew.
You're in Melbourne for a particular reason. What's that?
I'm here for the Australian Institute of Physics National Congress, and particularly to discuss the planned Australian International Gravitational Observatory, which a group of physicists from around Australia are proposing should be built as part of a worldwide array of gravitational wave detectors, which combined with several in the Northern Hemisphere and one in the Southern Hemisphere, can make a gravitational wave telescope able to pinpoint sources of gravitational waves and basically image the sky in gravitational waves.
During your stay here, you're going to be giving a youth lecture. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, the lecture is called Black Holes and Gravity Waves, because black holes are the sources that are likely to be the strongest sources of gravity waves. They are black holes undisturbed are not sources of gravity waves, but when a black hole is disturbed, it becomes a very, very strong source of gravity waves. And in fact, a black hole can convert a very large fraction of the energy, of the rest mass energy of matter that falls into it, into gravitational waves which spread out through the universe. So I'm talking about that connection between black holes and gravity waves, and about how black holes form in the universe, how we think they form, the sorts of sources that are likely to exist, and then I'll go on to talk about how you can, in practice, expect to detect these waves. One thing I might be able to just let you listen to is one of the a simulation of one of the ways that black holes will be formed in the universe, and the ways that and what the signal from a gravity wave detector will sound like for this particular source. The source is one that we know exists, and that is pairs of neutron stars in orbit around each other, orbiting to start with maybe once every few hours. But as they orbit, they lose energy by gravity waves, and they start to spiral and spiral closer and closer together. And the closer they get together, the faster they spin around each other, faster the orbit, and more energy is given out in gravity waves, and that means that it starts to decay faster and faster still. So it's like something sort of going down a plug hole, and eventually the neutron stars are spinning so fast that their frequency of rotation is in the audio frequency range. So eventually the pairs of neutron stars will be spinning around each other up to 1,000 times a second. At that time they'll coalesce and turn into and form a black hole. The last moments before it forms a black hole will sound a bit like this. If I can just switch this little gadget on here. Not that clicking, which is just the beginning. In a few seconds you'll hear the coalescence. And then you hear it again. Now I played you a few of those because those coalescences that you hear are in fact timed to be happening at about the rate that we think pairs of neutron stars are coalescing in the universe. Every time you heard that sound, that is the sort of signal we might have had when two pairs of neutron stars disappeared to become a black hole. Throughout the whole universe, every few seconds that's likely to be happening.
On one level that's quite often, but on another it's relatively rare when you consider how many billions of galaxies and billions of stars there must be in the universe.
Yes, yeah, you're quite right. In given that there are about 10 to the 23 stars in the universe, it's really quite rare, but it's still pretty flabbergasting to think of pairs of stars disappearing to become black holes just every few seconds like that.
So there must be billions and billions of black holes around.
And in my lecture, I'll be showing computer simulations of these processes. I've got a beautiful computer simulation done on a Cray computer showing an enormous black hole forming in the nucleus of a galaxy, and showing it forming a funnel to make the sort of structure that we now think explains how quasars work, and also be showing computer simulations of the neutron star coalescences and lots of other demonstrations as well.
And where is this lecture?
The lecture is at the Public Lecture Theatre in the Old Arts Building at the University of Melbourne.
And when will that be?
It's on Friday the 14th at 8 p.m. and it's free.
And who can go to it? It's billed as a youth lecture, isn't it?
It's been advertised through the schools as a youth lecture, and it's been advertised in the newspaper as a public lecture, so I think anybody can go.
All right. Oh, I might try and go myself then. Okay, then, so our listeners then can go to this lecture on Friday the 14th of February in the Public Lecture Theatre at the Old Arts Building. There's a phone number here that they could ring if they would like to secure a seat. It's 344-5123. I'll say that again, 344-5123. Well, thank you for joining us this evening on the Space Show, David.
That's fine, Andrew. It's a pleasure.